It has been a weird week around here, hasn't it? I mean, it's hard to believe that just a few days ago, Linwood and Chad and I were 7,200 miles away in the nation of India. Well, thank God we made it back safely, but we met amazing people along the way. We were able to work with Vivek Lal at Mid-India Christian Mission and the great work that he is doing there. We were able to visit churches in the villages and speak to over 1,000 people in those churches and at the school and in ministry centers. In fact, we were even honored to be able to baptize 16 people into Christ during our trip. Amazing, amazing. And we made it back without getting Deli Belly. Praise God. And of course, Pepto-Bismol. But since we've been back, we've been kind of self-quarantined because for some reason, people are kind of squeamish about being around people who have been traveling to foreign countries. So hopefully you've had a great week as we have just kind of struggled through this COVID-19 scare. You know, the coronavirus, it's big news in India, and it's even bigger news here in America. This pandemic that has everybody just kind of concerned and worrying and in fear. And there is no better time than right now to remember that Jesus is Lord, that God is still God. And the words of Jesus, God in the flesh, bring life, and his words bring hope, and his words bring peace. And there's no better time than right now to turn to Jesus, the God-man. That's what this series has been about. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been traveling through the book of John, and we've been answering questions like, did Jesus really say that he was God? Did Jesus show that he was God? And of course, the answer is yes. And we've seen through great messages by Chris Freeman and Josh McGrew over the last 2 weeks, a lot of those answers. And hopefully you've tuned into those. Hopefully also you have been following along in our Book of John reading plan. And if you have been reading through the Book of John, you've seen in living color Jesus, the God-man. And you've been through chapters 1 through 9 in the Book of John, which brings us to our passage today, John chapter 10. If we flip back just a chapter to kind of set things up, we see in chapter 9 that Jesus has just healed a man who was born blind. Jesus is showing God-like works and miracles everywhere he goes. He's making statements implying that he is God. And Jesus is saying words, and he's showing with his works that he is fully God and fully man. Incredible. And he's also causing people to listen to him and to think about him and to follow him and also to oppose him and even want to kill him. Which brings us to the end of John chapter 10, verses 22 through 39. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And we're going to look at this beautiful interaction between Jesus and the Jewish leaders who are after him. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 39. And if you're curious, there's been about 3 months that has taken place between John chapter 10, verse 21, and John 10, verse 22. And in verse 22, we see this grand scene in the temple courts in Jerusalem during a festival that we now call Hanukkah. So watch and follow along in your Bibles, John chapter 10, verse 22 through 42. Watch this.
Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus.
Jesus, the God-man in action. Isn't that awesome? But let's take a deeper look at the words and the account that we just saw of Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 22. You see, right now, Jesus has come to the festival of dedication. As we said, this is known today as Hanukkah. He's in Jerusalem and it's wintertime, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. Now, while we were in India, we had the privilege of visiting one of the seven wonders of the world. It was amazing. It's called the Taj Mahal, and it was a palace. And while we were there, walking around these courtyards and seeing these grand structures, it wasn't very hard to imagine Solomon's temple and the colonnade and the place where Jesus was during this account. Amazing. Verse 24 says, the Jews who were gathered around him were saying, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. It was like they were saying, and no more riddles, no more parables, like black and white. Let us know, are you the Christ or not? This is the question. This is the question that they wanted answered, and the question that all of us must ask, that all of us need answered. Is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus the God-man? Or is he just a man? Verse 25, Jesus gives the answer. He says, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. Jesus says, I did tell you. In fact, I did show you. He says, you've heard my words. I told you I am the Messiah. You've seen my works. They testify, they bear witness for me, the works. Well, what are these works that Jesus is talking about? I mean, surely Jesus lived a perfect life with his teaching and his compassion, but I want to focus in on the miracles of Jesus for just a few minutes, the works of God through him. In the life of Jesus, we see recorded in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no less than 37 different miracles that answer the question, is Jesus God? In the book of John alone, in fact, if you've been reading along, we've seen Jesus change water to wine. We've seen him heal a governor's son from a distance. We've seen him feed 5,000 people with just a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. We've seen Jesus walk on water and forgive sins. Last week, Josh did a great job of teaching from John chapter 5, where Jesus met a man who had been lame. He couldn't walk. And he was there at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus healed him. In fact, you can flip back just one chapter to John chapter 9 today, and you can see Jesus heal a man who was born blind. And we're only in John chapter 10. Jesus is just getting started. In fact, next chapter, Jesus is about to raise a man from the dead. His name was Lazarus. He's been dead 3 days, and Jesus calls him out of the tomb. Jesus himself, the greatest miracle of all, the greatest work of all, would be arrested, and he would be tried, and he would be publicly beaten and crucified before hundreds of people, and then buried in a tomb. And after 3 days, Jesus would rise again. That, my friends, is God stuff. The works of the God-man. See, when it came to Jesus' works, he did what only God could do so that we could believe. Jesus said, "The works I do testify about me. The works I do will show you that I am the God-man." In verse 26, Jesus goes on. He says, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life." Hear that again. "And they shall never perish." Jesus says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." In verse 29, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them, my sheep, out of my Father's hands." Earlier in John chapter 10, Jesus had said, "I am," a God statement. "I am the good shepherd." Now, this good shepherd term was an Old Testament reference to God. Jesus also says that he gives eternal life, another God statement. You see, Jesus is getting somewhere with his words. He's making a point that he is the God-man. He's still answering the Jews' questions. He is the good shepherd, and his sheep hear and follow him. Now, this idea of sheep is kind of strange to us today in modern America, but in India, it's almost like they're living in old times in some places. And it wasn't uncommon for us to see shepherds or cowboys and cowgirls kind of walking these herds of goats across the street, leading these water buffaloes, these huge animals, again, led by a young man or a young woman just around, and how he would protect and guide them in and out of the cars. And I want to tell you something. We almost hit our share of goats and cows and water buffaloes during the trip, but the shepherd protected them, and he did so with just a stick or a switch. Now, if you're wondering what a switch is, kids, ask your parents or your grandparents what a switch is, and they'll tell you. But that's how a shepherd was leading them, and he would just kind of, you know, just kind of walk them along with, by the sound of his voice, or maybe a clicking sound. We heard him, you know, "Come on now, sheep, you know, come on." I know these are just stupid little pretend sheep, but it's kind of cool to watch these large animals, these herds of animals being guided by the shepherd as he ushered them along. Good job, guys. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd's job was to protect them and to guide them and lead them home safely. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Y'all, we need a good shepherd today. We need to listen to his voice, especially right now. I mean, in light of the current circumstances that we're under with the coronavirus, our lives, our health, our economy are uncertain, and they are at risk. And we all know that. We also know better than to trust in any of those things. The economy and our health, man, that's all temporary. All temporary. Who are we really trusting in? Are we trusting in the Good Shepherd for peace? Are we trusting in the God-man for our joy and for our security and for our strength? The fact is, if you're like me, you've probably been glued to the TV and glued to your computer monitor and listening to every word that comes out of the news media, following every word as if our life depended on it. Man, what if we were that glued to God's word? I mean, just in the word of God, depending on the voice of our shepherd, hearing the words of Jesus, depending on them for our very lives. Wow. You know, maybe this virus is a way that God is turning up the volume in our lives. Maybe a wake-up call that we would listen to the shepherd's voice. that we would pay attention to the words of Jesus, because life is fragile. He tells us that. He tells us to come and to follow him. He tells us that if we will follow him, he will give us eternal life. So can you hear him today? Can you hear the shepherd's voice? To stop following temporary things and follow the one who gives eternal life. The one who guides us, protects us, and holds us tightly in his hand through all things, especially through the toughest of time. Hear the shepherd's voice. Hear the voice of Jesus. We do this by reading the Bible and by taking Jesus' words seriously. I can't stress that enough. This is God's word. That's why we have this reading plan. We also have these group study guides that have been so valuable through this series. In fact, I want to encourage you, especially as you're cooped up in your houses, to go through these study guides together with your family or individually or even in a small group. In fact, there's no better time than now to join a small group. And by small, of course, we mean less than 10, okay? But get together and share God's word and listen and follow the shepherd's voice together. See his works. See his miracles and believe. Hear his words, his voice, and follow Jesus, the God-man. In verse 30, Jesus says these epic words, "I and the Father are one." Check it out. "I and the Father are one." See, here Jesus says it out loud, the clearest statement that he ever made that he was God. And the word Jesus uses here in the Greek, that word "are one," it's right there, that phrase literally means "I and the Father exist as one." I am one. We are one together. And I am one with the Father. I am one with God. But what I want you to do right now is just kind of zero in on the intimacy of this statement itself, this fact. You see, Jesus is one with the Father. Catch this. They are in union together. He is abiding with the Father. They are connected. They are inseparable. Because what is true for Jesus is the key to life. And it is the key for peace and purpose for all of us. That in Christ Jesus, we can be one with God. Through Christ the God-man, we can be one with the creator of the universe. We can be in union with him, connected with him, inseparable with God. And to be one with Jesus the Son means we can be one with God the Father. I want to say that again. When we are one with Jesus the Son, we are one with God the Father. You and I can be one with God. Let that just kind of seep into your heart right now. When we believe in Jesus, when we trust in what Jesus said and what Jesus did, when we understand his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection, and then we give our lives to him as a result, once and for all and forever through faith, when we are baptized into Christ, God comes and he lives inside of us through his Holy Spirit. In Christ, we can have eternal life. We can be one with God, not just today, but for all of eternity. Life is found. Life is found in being one with God through the one and only God-man, Jesus. That is great news today. And these Jewish leaders that were listening to Jesus, they weren't having it. In fact, in verse 31, it says the Jewish opponents picked up stones and they were ready to kill Jesus. They were ready to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these good works are you going to stone me?" In verse 33, they answer, it's like, "We're not going to stone you for any of the good works, but for blasphemy. Because you," listen to this, "because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Again, they heard Jesus' claim loud and clear, his claim to be the God-man. So Jesus answers them. Verse 34, he says, "Is it not written in your law that I have said, you are gods? And if he, God, called them gods, to whom the word of God came, then scripture cannot be set aside, it can be broken. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent him into the world?" Jesus is talking about himself.
So then he turns it around and he says, why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said I am God's son. Jesus is like, whoa, slow down on the blasphemy talk. Okay, let's get back to the facts. Let's go back to the scriptures, your scriptures, and the things that you have seen and heard. Jesus goes and he turns it around and he uses the Jewish leaders' own law, the own prophets, and some amazing just kind of theological gymnastics to make a case. Number one, that it's appropriate for him to use the word God. Blasphemy? A blasphemy? I mean, their own law called the prophets gods in places like Psalm 82, verse 6. And Jesus, even more, as he has shown, has been sent by God. He also makes a point that Scripture cannot be set aside. It cannot be broken or ignored. The Bible is God's truth. This is God's word. And he goes on, verse 37, do not believe me. Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works. Verse 37, that you may know, listen to this, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, more clear words that Jesus is both God and man. And his enemies have heard enough. Verse 39, they try to capture him, but Jesus, once again, gets away. I love how Jesus points back to the words and the works that God has done through him to kind of close the loop on this discussion. And then he jets, drops the mic, takes off. The Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. He and God are one. See ya. Man, but I want to focus on verse 37. Verse 37 for just a moment. Can we just reflect on these words? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. You see it there? You see, Jesus is pointing to the importance of his works to show that he is one with God the Father. Don't believe me unless I do. If you're like me today, as you look in the mirror, and these words, they just hit me right in the chest. You see, I stand here today and I speak. And as I do, I must say, don't believe me. Don't believe me unless I do the works of my Father. Yeah, I follow Jesus. Jesus is Lord. But don't believe me unless I do the works of my Father. As we reflect on this passage, let's reflect on our daily lives and the things that we do. Are we doing the works of our Father? Am I? Are you? As a Christ follower, as a church family, are we? In fact, do people, does our community, do your friends and family see the works of the Father in us? Look, you're smart people and you love Jesus, and I don't have to tell you this, but in this time of crisis, this time of uncertainty, the world needs to hear God's word, and the world needs to see God's works being done in us and through us. And like Jesus, we must be one with our Father, and we must do the works of our Father. Be one with our Father and do the works of our Father. That means even right now, today, to get alone and to spend time with God, to be in union with him, to be one with him. So go. Go and read the word, spend time in prayer, sit, listen, get outside. And don't just pray by yourself, but pray with people. I mean, be careful. I mean, again, 6-foot rule, okay? But not just pray for them, but pray with them. I mean, think about it. We can be people who pray and who love and who show God's joy and who show God's peace in our lives. Like he said in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 6, not to worry. He said to love your neighbor as yourself. So go check on people. If you find out there's a need, meet that need. Toilet paper. Who would have thought that toilet paper would have been a way to do the works of our Father? But there you go. There's opportunities everywhere. Be the church. Make sure people have meals around you. In fact, be a parent or help a parent if they have kids and maybe they're stressed out about it, or maybe help by cutting some of our own personal expenses in order to help someone else in need. Do the works of the Father and be one with the Father. Look, I know today, firsthand, that there are missionaries and there are little Indian kids with all kinds of disabilities that believe today. They believe in Jesus just a little bit more because you have done the works of the Father. You gave generously last month. You saw a need and you met a need. And praise the Lord for that. And what's been done across the globe can be done right here in our own homes and in our own communities. May our friends, may our family members, may our county, may our community see the same thing. As we spend time with God and become one with Him. And then as we go and we do the works of God and be the church, be one. Be one with God our Father. And then do the works of our Father like Jesus. He made it clear. He made it clear. He is the God-man, Jesus. So respond. Respond to His works today by seeing and believing. Respond to His words today by hearing His voice and following Him. Go and be one with God through Jesus. And go and do the works of our Father everywhere we are, right here and right now. Y'all, it's no secret there is much need for prayer today. And we're going to end our time together with a word of prayer and a time of celebration that this world is not our home and the things we see around us are only temporary. Because those of us who follow Jesus on earth will follow Him into heaven for all of eternity. And those who don't know Jesus yet can. And I pray that if you don't, today might be the day that you say, yes, I will. Make that phone call to the church. Go talk to someone you know that follows Jesus. Today can be the day that you hear His voice and begin to follow Him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this time together this morning. And God, we know that in these times, maybe these times more than any other time, we need to be one with You. To gain our security in You, to gain our peace and our joy and our strength in You. So God, help us to do that today. Help us to be one with You, our Heavenly Father, to get in Your word, to live as people of prayer, to people of people who know Your voice when we hear it, God, and then to go and to listen with all that we have as we read Your word and as we live Your word together. Help us to do the works of our Father in heaven. God, You know our every need. You know our every concern. You know when we're wondering what's going to happen today or tomorrow, God. So I pray that You would be with those who have maybe lost jobs or are cutting back on their hours. God, I pray for the moms, the single moms. I pray for parents who are home with their kids this week and for the kids themselves who are cooped up wondering what to do next. God, I pray that You would come and that You would meet them where they are in a mighty way and show Yourself strong and mighty in their lives. Help this time, God, to be a time not of struggle, a time of worry or concern, but a time to draw near to You and a time to do the works of our Father God. You are so good to us, God. And we thank You, God. I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for Your presence in our lives, and I thank You for Your spirit. And I thank You for each and every person that is listening today. I pray a blessing on their homes and a blessing on their lives, and I pray that if there is someone here today that doesn't know You as Savior, God, that they would know that they can come to You, that they can hear Your voice, that they can be baptized into Christ and they can rise out of that water brand new in You and follow You forever into eternity. God, we commit our lives to You. We commit our days to You because we know that You walk with us and You guide us as a good and loving shepherd. God, I love my friends. I love my church. I know You love us even more. So God, please meet us where we are today. As only You can. We love You, God. Thank You for loving us first. Thank You. for Jesus the God-man. It's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.